Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
It's your Friday morning episode, and if you're an IFS subscriber, you get it on Thursday evening as a lovely bonus if we record it in time, which we don't always do. But this week we have. In fact, we're recording it on Thursday morning.
Oh. So let's hope there's no breaking news between now and the release. Nothing massive happens.
Yeah, because then it'll all be pointless and irrelevant for
a change. In our world, what would that be? I mean, the Queen's already dead, so it's hard to think of.
The Queen's dead. There's a lot of royal shit going on, though. We've still got the conspiracies about where Kate is. I think we
I thought she'd shown her face now. I thought I read somewhere she'd shown her face.
Someone's face was shown in a car.
Fucking standing.
I think possibly. I haven't looked at the forums or the social media, but there was like a blurred long lens picture, I think, of inverted commas Kate in a car with sunglasses on. But you know, she's got that kind of face where it wouldn't be hard to get a lookalike in.
I tell you what,
it's a plain face.
Yeah, I mean, you walk round fucking Barnes and every second Doris looks like that, mate. I mean, yeah. It's like
not
very
so much
easy.
Sunderland, but Barnes,
fucking easy to find a Kate Middleton lookalike. No problem. Have you ever seen, you must have seen it, that film from a few years back, The Death of Stalin?
Yeah, great film.
Fucking what a movie.
Yeah.
And I rewatched it at the weekend because Len has to read Animal Farm for English, right?
Right.
And so on Saturday night, me and him were in on our own, so we watched the animated 1956 film of Animal Farm, which is worth a deep dive.
Is
it's
it really
fucking
good?
Hilarious.
I've not seen that since I was a kid. Yeah.
It's fucking funny. I don't think I'd ever seen it. I'd seen bits and bobs of it, like clips and whatnot.
Is it on YouTube then?
Fucking hell. No, I think we saw it on maybe Amazon or something. Right. It was free. Yeah. Anyway, it's very funny. Obviously, I mean, Animal Farm is effectively a comedy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we laugh from beginning to end. Like, there's so many funny bits. The best thing is the fucking Farmer Jones or whatever his name is. He's pissed the entire time, but in a very drunken baker's sort of way. He's not a happy drunk. He's like a hangdog, unshaven drunk. He's just fucking really grumpy. And he's so useless and drunk all the time. Some pigs chase him off his own farm and then take over. Can't believe we didn't do it in the Pig Odyssey. But, you know, as a result of him reading that and then us watching the film and pissing ourselves, he was like, oh, it's really funny. Like, and then he started like being more interested in, like, you know, Russia and all the rest of it. And I said, and he, you know, like a lot of kids, not so much more, but when he was a bit younger, he was banging to Horrible Histories, which is one of the best fucking shows ever, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good. And I said, actually, I think you're ready to watch Death of Stalin. I said, because you're suddenly interested in this shit, like Stalin and Trotsky and all the fucking stuff. I said, this is basically a film that's like Horrible Histories. I said, it's real stories, but told with humour. So we watched that. And it was fucking hilarious. He liked it too.
Oh, that's great. My kids are both massively into it as well.
Yeah, it's a really good. I mean, I watched it and thought there should be more films like this because, you know, it's like, it's a really interesting way into a sort of an important, interesting subject.
Yeah.
But it's like, imagine the sort of shit they usually make you watch at school, the crap. Mm. That you're just bored shitless by. I mean, now in our 40s, you know, the likes of me and you, there's nothing more we'd like than to sit down and watch a 2-hour really dull historical documentary. I mean, we're middle-aged men. Do you know what I mean?
That's the speed we travel at now.
That's the speed we travel at. When I was at school, like, oh, no, don't make me watch it.
Like, It's like I've said before, I can see gardening coming down the road towards my my future. Gardening and test cricket.
Why do they try to rush you into these boring things when you're a kid? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like I've said, like I play chess with my son now sometimes, and you know, I'm no good at it at all. But I really enjoy it. I enjoy the sort of peacefulness of it. I enjoy like it's sort of like meditative. It takes you away from all the usual shit that's fucking running around your brain. And he beats me every single time now, right? Because he plays only because he plays more regularly because he's in a club at school, right?
But at least you're not at that stage now where you're like pretending to lose.
That's worse. That's like really boring. We're pretending to lose. But, like, you know, my dad tried to teach me chess when I was just too young, and I just didn't get into it. And then I felt shit about myself because I thought I must be thick.
I've still not learned chess properly.
Or my dad won't, you know, my dad will just, like, be really disappointed in me because this was his stab at us bonding over something or whatever. And really, it's just because it's fucking boring when you're too young. I mean, Len got into it probably around the right age. He's built a bit differently to me anyway. But, like, you know, the point is that adults try to make you do things, boring things, too soon, and then you feel judged for not being interested in stuff that is self-evidently boring. But the adults like it because your brain changes, like, as you get older, and you take pleasure in boring shit when you get older.
I love driving through the countryside and looking at the views. I'm going to drive up to Glasgow later on today for a 24-hour stopover, and I'll be looking at the beautiful views from the motorway up there.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, and I would my parents would be in the front of the car going, "Oh, look at that view! Look at those hills!" And I'd "Fuck off! Where's the comic?"
And you'd also be like, "Oh, don't make me look at it." If I look at it, I'll get depressed and sick.
Come on now. Cheer up. We're on our way to a distillery tour.
It's like I've said before as well, classical music. Someone played you classical music, be like, like, do anything. You cover your ears. I'm going to kill myself so I don't have to listen to it. I'm going to chop my head off.
But now, if I was to drive through some countryside to a distillery tour, I'd be fucking buzzing.
We'd be fucking pumping out the old Radio 3 on your way there as well.
Yeah, Brahms on the radio,
So, you know, but anyway, I think the reason I brought it up, the death of Stalin, was because there's a great bit in it where literally when he's died, all the rest of them, they all just, they like, right, just kill everyone. Because killing has become so normalised that they're just like, right, everyone who worked for Stalin... They'll know his secrets and whatnot, and so we can't really afford for them to be alive. So either imprison them or just kill them. And it's fucking terrifying. They're sending the secret police in. They're just dragging all this stuff out. These people who've just worked loyally in his, like, compound for years as his cooks or whatever. And then suddenly three geezers walk out who all look exactly like Stalin. And the Paul Whitehouse character and, like, you know, whatever, the Michael Palin character, cast unbelievable, are both there giggling as they're being marched out, going, "Oh, looks like they've their contract's expired, isn't it?" And they're just shot dead because they've worked in his house as full-time professional Stalin impersonators, three of the cunts.
Yeah.
And that has got to happen in the royal family, hasn't it?
Yeah, the photograph that I saw that was leaked of Kate in the car, that's the fucking... But then there was a thing yesterday where the Ministry of Defence had put on their website that she was going to be attending the Troop in the Colour in June.
And the palace
it's
denied
March
it.
Now, 3 months away.
Yeah.
And then it got took off the June. Website. They had tickets for sale for the Troop in the Colour saying, "She's back! June, the great comeback. Kate will be at the Troop in the Colour in June."
You had to buy tickets.
Get your tickets.
Well, get a proper look. Fucking pay those cut. We're the ones who funded it.
Well, don't ask me.
Why would I have to pay to go and see something that I paid for in the first place?
Because you're a mug.
What a fucking disgrace.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, it's been took off the website now. Which begs further questions, doesn't it? Why was it on there in the first place? Secondly, why has it been taken down? Third, where is she? What's going on?
If this William
is
has killed
public,
her.
The public conversation now, as a result of us talking about it on this podcast 2 weeks or so ago, no one was talking about it then. It's everywhere now.
I'm surprised that the fucking special branch haven't been round to shut us down. We've heard what you've been doing, spreading rumours.
I'm surprised they've put a fucking uncle on Celebrity Big Brother. He looks like a gobshite. They've put him on.
Yeah, they're shitting themselves about that.
Ek and Sue from Love Island's already asked him the question. Where is she? And he says, from what I gather, I didn't watch it, but he said something like, she's receiving the best possible care available in the world.
Oh.
That just triggers more questions for me. Why?
Maybe she's, what does she need that for?
Why not just standard care?
And is she in...
Oh, royal level care.
If it's anywhere in the world, you've got to think she's got to be somewhere like Japan, where they've got, like, robot doctors, right?
Yeah, they go around, like, on wheels and stuff, yeah.
Like, well, you know, do you remember those robots that help Padme give birth to Luke and Leia in Revenge of the Sith?
Fucking yeah.
They got them out in Japan. A
couple of them in, working shifts.
Yeah.
To recharge the batteries.
Yeah, that's where I'd head. If money was no object and I needed the best care available, I'd be straight out to Japan. I feel as if that's where the best stuff is.
I'm just Googling now, where is Kate? Let's just see what it says. The Washington Post is writing about it now.
Oh my God, mate. Do you know what? I know
magazine.
We say this all the time. I'm thinking that I might do very quick released Where is Kate Top Flight Time Machine t-shirts and maybe badges.
Make a limited edition.
And I might do another one that just says, tell us where she is, without reference to Kate, because that will stop us getting into any legal difficulties.
That should cover it, yeah. I'm just looking to see what the Washington Post are saying. She's probably not going to resume duties before April, was it originally said. Mm.
But no one has said at all what it is that the matter with her is, right?
It's none of our business. And it's... You'd say we pay for her, so it is our business.
I pay for the fucking...
You need to see the X-rays.
It's our fucking business, because she's on my fucking payroll.
Yeah. It's your dollar.
Chancellor just did the fucking budget. I didn't hear him saying, oh, don't worry, we're cutting spending on the royals, so you're going to save a bit of money. He was happy to cut the fucking national insurance, right, which goes towards pensions and the NHS. But there was no mention of, what we've decided to do is we're going to cut 25% of the royals. Or what we've decided to do is we're going to insist that the royals now have to use the NHS. Therefore, we're going to cut our, like, bill for the royals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm still paying full whack for these fuckers, right? So I demand to know what her medical status is.
At all times. Well,
it's like if she was working in my organisation, if she was working for Uncle Harrington Enterprises, right, mm-hmm. and she said, I can't come in until June, right, I'd be like,
we ask questions.
Okay. I'd be fine, but I at least want a letter from the doctor if you want me to carry on paying you. If you don't want me to carry on paying, that's fine. I'll freeze your pay. Come in June when you're ready. If you want paying, that's fine too. But I need a letter. I don't need intimate details. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not going to be like weird about it.
I don't want to see our medical records, do you?
I don't want to see all this shit. I don't need blood. I don't need a stool sample, right? But what I do... My friend worked in the chocolate department of Harrods.
How have we gone from stool samples to a chocolate department?
Because she... Well, this is under the regime of Al Fayed.
Yeah.
Right? And she told me that when you get the job at Harrods, anyone who becomes a Harrods employee has to do a full medical...
Right.
First, before getting a job, which includes submitting a stool sample.
That seems reasonable for Harrods, I think.
Al Fayed wants a piece of your shit gives you a job.
Keeping a little
jar. I don't know if it's still
the shelf. Yeah. What do you think? You just keep it in a jar? Would he freeze
it? Let me see.
Come on.
Mohammed wants to see your poo-poo. Show Big Uncle Mo your poo-poo. If not, no working chocolate section for you.
Don't
you show me your chocolate section, yes?
I Your privacy is safe with me. I keep it in a sandwich bag in the freezer. Only identifiable by initials, not full name.
I know what you think. Harrod's big organisation. What if someone has same initials as me? Ha ha ha. I use middle initial. What if someone has same middle initial too?
I use
then
a number.
Then we add code. Then we add date of birth. D.O.B.
He's just a thorough man. Well, the pictures that emerged yesterday, apparently it was on the notorious gossip website TMZ.
Or TMZ, as we
call it here in the UK.
Yeah, they're the ones who found out about Michael Jackson.
Do you want to see it? I'll show you
it
now. Yeah. I'll go onto the... reverse the camera that we're watching on, if I can find the right button. How does this work? There we go.
That's not her. That looks like my fucking mum. No way that's her.
Well, there you go. She looks like Elizabeth Taylor.
She does,
in her later years.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose it is mysterious. And with all these rumours flying around, surely the simplest thing in the world would just be put a picture out. We don't even need a video, just a picture, but holding today's newspaper.
And a thumbs up. Yeah.
A copy of the Metro.
Yeah.
With a thumbs up, right?
Thing is, the conspiracy theorists would still say that's been photoshopped.
Yeah.
You can't please these people.
Why don't they just put it to bed? Why don't they just put these rumours to bed once and for all? It'd be the easiest thing in the world to do.
It would be. I think it's because they enjoy fucking with us. That's what it is.
Okay. Fucking weirdos.
As I say, it says in this Washington Post piece, paparazzi photo of Catherine, to give her a full name, wearing oversized sunglasses and being driven in a car by her mother, whatever, was published by TMZ, but not... by British media. And there's a tweet from Chris Shipp, who is the ITV Royal Editor, the ITV News Royal Editor, and he tweeted on the other day, there are pat pictures of the Princess of Wales. We are not running them out of respect for her privacy while she recovers from her operation in the time scale we were given for it. As far as I know, no other UK broadcaster or newspaper has published the photos either.
Just the editor of the Mail said this.
No, the ITV Royal Editor, the Nicholas Witchell of ITV, Chris Shipp. Great name. So that just muddies the waters even further, to be quite honest. That just suggests that there's a conspiracy among the mass media, and that everyone's hiding behind whatever the truth might be. Just bring her out. Just wheel her out.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
I hope she's all right, but I am very interested to find out how this all ends.
We could end up having to delete this episode at some point. or seriously edit it, because the truth might come out and it might be so horrific that we have to backtrack on everything we've said.
No, it's not. We're just speculating, aren't we?
Yeah.
We haven't said anything.
I feel like I've gone too far.
I wish her all the best. I'm sure you do as well. I hope she's safe. I think that the most likely thing in my mind, which isn't even that's not good, is that she is pretty ill. Like, you know, not necessarily dying, but she's got something serious. And they think because of the king having that, and it's just coincidence that they both got very ill at once, they think the country might not be able to handle both of them.
Can I just retract what I said a couple of minutes ago when I shouted, wheel her out? I feel as though I crossed a line there. I'd like to retract that.
Look, we do not wish any harm upon her, or indeed any of the royals. But this is, you've got to say, this is fishy. At the moment, the current status is, we would put it on our chart. We have a chart that we keep it just between Andy and I, where we have various situations and individuals of interest on it. And each morning we do a call, don't we, like spies do, and go, yeah. Farmer Brown is in the barn, right? Or good morning, Auntie.
Yes.
I had eggs for breakfast this morning. And that is a coded message to tell each other what the current situation or status of each individual of interest is. So I won't tell you the full list, but for instance, we do a daily morning update on the status of Noel Edmonds over in his New Zealand compound, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, that's
And at
true.
The moment, the status on the chart in front of me, next to Kate, Princess Kate, is fishy.
Fishy.
That's what it is. It's fishy.
Still,
very
it's fishy.
Yeah.
And that's not our fault. You know, they brought it on themselves. Like you say, wheel her out. Was it you that said that? No, it was me.
You said it again now, you mad man.
Fuck, I don't know. But yeah,
so you
I'm
know
suspicious.
All these. We'll keep a good eye on this. There's quite a lot of celebrities in barns, right? It's on the up. In fact, soon I'm going to have some pretty amazing news. But you know me, because I'm Britain's best journalist, I don't like to reveal things until I've checked and double-checked the veracity of a story, cross-reference sources, etc. I'm not yet in a position to do that, but I have heard some strong rumours that I'm in the process of confirming that some major Hollywood A-listers are about to move into the neighbourhood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you able to provide clues, or are you just not even...
It's a celebrity couple. They're a Hollywood celebrity couple, and they've got kids, and apparently they have been, according to local agents, they've been house hunting, and according to some local poshies, they have been seen touring two of the local posh private schools.
I couldn't name a single Hollywood married couple. My original reaction would be Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, but that's well out of date. I know that.
It's
but I can't
it's Bruce
think of
Willis.
Any.
It's Bruce Willis and what's her name? Demi Moore. It's Melanie Griffiths and Don Johnson.
It's Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton.
Yeah.
It's Hedy Lamarr and whoever Hedy Lamarr would marry to.
But, like, I was driving along and I saw the newsreader, Mark Austin. Are you familiar with his
name? I am Uber? Familiar with his name. I couldn't identify him in a lineup.
So I knew he lived round here. I've seen him about a few times. And when I see him, I think, oh, look, there's a...
Mark Austin.
There's Mark Austin, right? And I think,
hello,
I've got nothing against Mark Austin. In fact, I've always thought he strikes me as a nice guy, right?
Yeah.
And I've read interviews with him and I thought, seems like a good bloke. Right, seems like
a newsreader.
Seems like a nice geezer, right? I like him.
Oh yeah, I know him. I've just looked him up.
When I was driving along, I saw him in the street. I've seen him loads of times, but this is yesterday morning.
Yeah,
and I saw him, and I had this overwhelming urge to wind down my window and shout, "Austin, you cunt!" I don't know why. not because I think he's a cunt. I've got no reason to think he's a cunt. I'm sure he isn't.
Just sounds good.
But I just thought you just get the urge to shout things because you think that would be really funny.
Yeah.
And I think the idea is as well, it's quite a genteel area. So sometimes, you know, saying things that are sort of more outrageous seem extra funny. Yeah. And I just sort of go, oh, Sid, you can't. And then I thought, oh, maybe it's from that thing with, what's his name, Jeremy Vine. Vine, you wanker.
He just fuck, why?
Why? I wonder if Austin, you can. I wonder if he'd turn around and go, why? I reckon he's such a nice guy. He just turned around, smiled and given me a double thumbs up.
I mean, yeah, you're banter. Right. It's about the location, isn't it? I mean, if I'm out and about walking Oscar around, very regularly people wind down the window and just shout, Dawson, you cunt!
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
It's all right.
Just take it, you know?
Water off it's a duck's back to you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Did you see the Jeremy Vine clip that we retweeted the other day about the bath?
No.
Oh, well, I might have to play it to you then. Oh, man, come on. Yeah, it was. I just retweeted it on the Top Flight Time Machine Twitter account with the words "Why?" It was from a guy called Milo Edwards. He says, "As most of you know, I'm a scholar of the Jeremy Vine on Radio 2. Believe me when I say this is the single best thing I have ever heard on there." And let's have a little listen to it.
I was talking to an RNLI person a while back, and I won't say where, but they said, and this just shows almost the care given. They had a guy in the harbour where they worked who was being rescued once a week, constantly rescued, because he was going, it was the southwest of England, he had a bathtub, and he was going out in the bathtub with his dog with the intention of going to Scotland. And he would get just to them about a mile, half a mile, and then start sinking every single time. And they said, bless him, in the end, the only way we could save that guy's life was to break up his bathtub. So in the middle of the night, they just smashed it up, and that was the end of that.
What? I swear to God, Jeremy Meyer it might be a comic genius and make shit up. The only way they could save him was to smash it up.
Smash it till the dead of night. They smashed it with his bathtub, and that was the end of that. And that's that.
And
they
that's said that.
Afterwards,
that's the end of that fucking chapter.
Oh, fucking hell! That's incredible. Hell.
I don't think that's a good. I don't think that reflects well on the RNLI. I think they've moved way out of their jurisdiction there.
Yeah, that's a shadow operation, isn't it? Yeah, that hasn't been authorised from the top.
You cannot take the law into your own hands like that. No way. We're going to have to smash it up.
We just had an excellent email, Sam. I think you might have seen it already because it looks like it's been read on the email account. And it's from Jan Anders Tjernestahl. And it just says, Germans don't mess about. And it's a photograph of the side of a bus and the electronic signage on the side of the bus simply just says three words, Ich bin kaputt.
T-shirt idea.
Yeah.
I was walking along when I saw that email this morning. I actually lulled in the street.
A lull, not a ruffle. Yeah, not a roll about on the floor.
No,
laughing.
No, that'd be crazy. I've never done that, I don't think.
I've never rolled about the floor laughing, no.
The most I ever remember laughing at something on TV was when I was a kid and I first saw The Young Ones. I remember laughing. And when you're a kid, of course, you think Vivian's the funniest. Because
of course, yeah.
Just fucking mental. Course, and Vivian used to come and, like, drove his car through, like, the front of the house.
Yeah.
And I was just fucking laughing, like rolling around, banging my head on the floor with laughter. Yeah. That's the most I remember laughing.
Although I do think the funniest bit is when he sticks his head out of the train and it gets cut off. And then he goes looking for it and boots it down the track.
Yeah, he's booting it about. Yeah, that's actually maybe the funniest episode, the one where they got a university challenge. Scumbag College London. Yeah, I saw a thing actually. There's a Young Ones Twitter account. You probably follow it. And they've been running some clips recently of like Rick Mayall and Ben Elton from like however long ago, talking about the making of it and how the idea first came about and their memories of. And when you see it, you kind of are reminded of the fact that although Ben Elton is widely regarded as a bit of a bell end, like it's a healthy reminder of the stuff that the really great things he's been responsible for. And Rick Mayall, who obviously was a national treasure and no one regards as a bell end at all, like really revered Ben Elton and said, you know, like he was the guy who we had an idea. Him and, is it Lise Meyer? Is that the other
That's
writer?
Right, yeah.
He said, we had this great idea about students living in a scummy house share. And we had idea of the characters who would be in it and who would play who. But we did not, then we thought, well, that's all very well, but if we're writing six episodes, we need loads and loads of jokes and ideas, and we just don't have those. And he went, so I just thought, I know, I'll call Ben Elton. He's a genius. He'll be able to fill in all the gaps.
Yeah, and that's what he did. Thing. He did, and he's pretty underappreciated, I think, Ben Elton, because he did the same with Blackadder. The first series of Blackadder was pretty good, but didn't have enough jokes in it. And then he got hold of it and co-wrote series 2, 3, and 4 and made it into the brilliant thing that it is now.
The behemoth.
I watched this Upstart Crow, the thing that he did on BBC Two about William Shakespeare, which I didn't watch at the time because I thought, it's Ben Elton, it'd be like the Fatty Rabbit, he's not good anymore, is he, Ben Elton? He's lost it. And then there's been repeats of it on the Dave channel, like at night time, you know, when I'm sitting up watching all kinds of shit until the early hours. And it's great. It's really good. It's really good. It's got David Mitchell in it, Harry Enfield's in it, Lisa Tarbuck's in it. Loads of great people. It's really, really funny.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that then. I mean, talking of things like Death of Stalin, Horrible Histories. Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think what did for him was just him doing a Queen musical and referring to Bohemian Rhapsody as Bo Rap. That fucked everyone off so profoundly that they were willing to like completely forget everything else great that he'd done. Mm-hmm. That one crime of doing just a Queen musical and calling it Bo Rap was so annoying. It could almost like override everything else. But he also has been on the telly doing a little couple of bits of political commentary. He was promoting something, and so they invited him onto a couple of like sort of political
shows. He was on the Kunisberg Sunday morning show, wasn't he?
He did some tremendous rants because he's like, you know, he doesn't require a huge amount of public approval, does he? Because he's probably pretty rich from all the things he's done, and he's not an entertainer full time. He doesn't want his own fucking BBC TV show with him, so he doesn't really give a fuck. But he also was, you know, he's a very good radical voice on mainstream TV in the 80s, in the Thatcher era. And everyone laughs, they go, oh, that Mrs. Thatcher and all that. But it was pretty good stuff. I mean, I used to love watching, was it Saturday, Friday Night Live in this country,
it was
wasn't
Saturday
it?
Saturday and then Friday, they moved
then
it.
Friday. And I, you know, I watched that when I was pretty young, probably didn't understand a lot of things, but found him really engaging. And it was sort of, it was good stuff he was saying, wasn't it?
There was a lot of anti-government comedy around then.
There wasn't
just him. And then that kind of thing doesn't happen now because everyone...
Well, there's satirical shows, isn't there? I mean, I don't watch any of them. I find all the comedians quite posh and sort of have the same sort of...
And they're all kind of a little bit scared of being, not necessarily cancelled, but causing outrage on social media because the organised right can get all the stuff like that and make your life a misery like they did with me with Michael Gove when I said I was going to stick a bomb down his pants on Twitter or something like that. I think that's what they said it was.
Yeah, you said you were going to explode his willy, and if that silly bastard, I've got it written down here, if that silly bastard so much as looks at me again, I will blow his willy up with a stick of dynamite.
Inside outwards from the
inside. Yeah, you said that you were going to put a stick of dynamite down the hole in his willy.
Yeah, and I'm now working on a musical about that furore with Ben Elton. So that'll be...
I think it's going to be great. And
that'll be in the West
End
next year.
I also think it's going to be unflinching. And I think it's brave that you've decided to tell this story.
It's about time.
Yeah.
All right, that's about it. I should do some predictions.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now think hard. The gap is 0 points between you and Results Bot. All right, here we go. Manchester United versus Everton. I've already written mine down.
This is going to be Manchester United 2, Everton 1.
Oh, I've gone for 2-0 to Manchester United.
I nearly said 2-0.
Wolves versus Fulham. I'll go first in this one. Wolves are a bit of a skittish team at the minute, I think. I will go for 1-1 in that one.
I'm going to say 3-2 to Wolves.
Fucking hell, he's gone for another wildcard prediction. There it is. West Ham United versus Burnley. Hopeless Burnley.
I think this will be 3-0 to West Ham.
I'll go 3-1 West Ham.
Yeah, it's maybe better actually never keep a clean sheet.
Southampton versus the unbelievably hopeless Sunderland. This will be 3-1 to Southampton. No, 3-0. We're not going to get a goal. We can't score. Our XG is awful at the moment, Sam.
And Jack Clark's injured, right?
He is, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say 3-0 as well then.
And finally, one for the neutrals. Chelsea versus Newcastle United.
Christ.
Monday Night Football. Make other arrangements.
I think this will be 2-0 to Chelsea. Just got a feeling.
2-1 to Chelsea, I think that'll be. So that's it. That's the predictions. That's the episode. Enjoy your weekend. Look out for Kate wherever you are. Please report any sightings. Thank you very much. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.